the United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave. America has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called America their home. America has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of the fulfillment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries of the world. By welcoming all the world's people and affording them unprecedented opportunities, America has embraced the most talented minds in all fields and from all countries. In becoming a true melting pot with few barriers to success, this young nation has become a model for others to follow. The United States has dozens of major cities playing an important role in U.S. culture, heritage, and economy. In 2004, 251 incorporated places had populations of at least 100,000, and 9 had populations greater than 1 million, including 5 important global cities: New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, and Philadelphia. In addition, there are 50 metropolitan areas with populations over 1 million, including Long Beach, Dallas, Boston, Phoenix, Seattle, and San Diego. With no official language, English is the de facto language of the United States. About 82% of the population speaks only English at home. Although not all Americans speak English, it is the most common language for daily interaction among both native and non-native speakers. Opportunities in this country are only limited by our imagination and our ability. Indeed, two of the richest men in the world, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, hail from America, and both started their companies from the ground up. But despite its success as one of the world's superpowers, the United States is also a very spiritual country, allowing freedom of worship to its citizens. Indeed, religion has traditionally played a large role in American society. Many of the original European colonists came to America for religious reasons. Religion still has a major influence on American politics and culture. As a liberal country that respects its citizens' right to worship, America has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. She first visited America in the late 1980s. In response to the earnest and sincere invitation of spiritual aspirants. Since then, Supreme Master Ching Hai has accepted many invitations from around the country to share her wisdom and knowledge on spirituality. Over the years, with her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has also provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the country. For example, in 1993, many parts of the Midwestern United States were flooded as a result of heavy rainfall. Supreme Master Ching Hai's heart went out to these victims, and thus, she immediately sent relief teams to this region to provide financial and material assistance. In 1994, in recognition of her compassion and contributions to these states, the governors of 6 Midwestern states, Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Kansas, presented Supreme Master Ching Hai with the World Spiritual Leadership Award, and also proclaimed February 22nd as Supreme Master Ching Hai Day. And in the face of the worst human tragedy to ever occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai had also responded by immediately sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Qinghai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. Contributions were given to the Virginia chapter of the American Red Cross, National Red Cross in Washington, D.C., National Salvation Army, Crisis Link, an organization to help the families of the Pentagon victims, and the Virginia Hospital Center, where many of the injured victims from the Pentagon were treated. In New York, Supreme Master Qinghai's contributions were directed to the Salvation Army, the American Red Cross, and the Firefighters Memorial Fund. Additional contributions from Supreme Master Qinghai were allocated for relief supplies. Our association members on site at Ground Zero provided supplies, medicine, and daily nourishment of delicious vegetarian food and hot coffee to relief workers. For rescuers who were in areas too dangerous to leave, the Qinghai Mobile Meal Truck, the only mobile food unit at the time, delivered food directly to those workers. As an embodiment of true love, Supreme Master Qinghai continues to this day to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the United States, from Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states, from the elderly to the homeless, the orphaned and the impoverished, and victims of natural disasters. All are recipients of Supreme Master Qinghai's love. Everywhere she goes, Supreme Master Qinghai leaves an indelible impression on the hearts of all those who met her or received her unconditional assistance. For many, Supreme Master Qinghai's words of wisdom act like a loving balm that soothes their aching soul as they yearn to return to God's embrace.
We now invite you to listen to the following lecture given by Supreme Master Qinghai in Colorado, USA, on May 14, 1991, entitled, Try to Live a Happy Life.
You have to have an object to dedicate your expression to, right? Just like an artist, he needs a model of beautiful flowers in order to paint. Yeah, even the best one like Van Gogh or Picasso, they need the model, to paint. Maybe the model are more beautiful than the objects, but at least they have something. When I paint it, I also need some objects. Yeah. And I made them more beautiful. I made them the way I want. Not the way they are, but at least there's something to inspire you. So what I say to you is that try to live a happy life, yeah? Accept yourself the way you are and grow. Just don't stuck there, that's all. Whatever you are at this moment, you are okay. You're learning all the time. You make no sin, just mistakes. Mistakes like babies stumbling around when they learn to walk. That's all. And don't burden yourself too much with conceptions about sins and hells and things like that. These are made for films and for the Bible, for the church, not for us, the practitioner of light and sound. Of the principle of God. For example, yesterday some Americans were there in San Jose and they wanted to get initiation. He has been on several paths and he has good path also, you know. Get one of those two or three that have also light and sound, yeah, like us, similar, and also very famous masters and things like that. But then he say we wasn't satisfied with the teaching of the master. The path is okay, I said to him, it's perfect, yeah? Just the way the master expressed the truth or the enlightenment did not suit him. He thought it's too black and white, too rigid. So I said to him, well, don't just look at that. Develop your own. Yeah? Master can only give a general guideline because he mostly talk in the public. Just that we should marry someone that we truly love. And to have any relation or any action with such a loved person is perfect. You never think of any sin at that moment. You never care about anything. Yeah? And when you love each other, you forgive everything, including yourself, you know? At that time, everything is pure. Once you're really in love, you put down everything. And everything you do in love is perfect, is pure. For example, that's what one of the commandments. Every commandment is good. It's good. It's not to make people feel sinful. It's not to forbid people what to do. It is just a real wisdom behind it. Just a true enjoyment that the old masters wanted to offer to us. Yeah. I have also explained something about, for example, why we eat vegetarian or why we don't kill. Yeah? Because we ourselves don't like to get hurt if we act against our own principle. Then it hurts us, you understand? And we have to feel guilty, guilty all the time until that person has to come back and kill us to finish with that guilty feeling, to make us feel deserved it, yeah, and cleansed. And that's how we sin. That's how we call it a sin, because it's the weight of conscience. And we feel so guilty that we couldn't forgive ourselves, then God had to send that person that we are killed in order to clean us of this, yeah? For example, when we do something bad to somebody, huh? And that person, they never blame us, always treat nicely to us, then we feel even more troublesome, huh? Right or not? Is it true?
Yeah.
But if that person, in that moment when we did bad things and angry and slap us, we even feel better, you know? Right? Even though we don't like it, but we feel better, we feel we deserve it, we feel that's it, at least we are equal now, right? Even. We don't owe that person anything anymore, so it's cleansed. The same feeling when we do wrong thing like we kill the other people. Because we don't want to get killed ourselves, we don't want to get hurt by feeling or bodily anything. Therefore, when we do that to other person, mean we are against our own liking. We normally like happiness and everybody treat us nicely. That is our principle. Now we treat people not nicely or we kill them, mean we are against our own belief. You understand what I mean? So that hurts us. Yeah. It hurts all the time until we make it even somehow. That's what it is called sin. Therefore, the commandments is only to tell us how to live in happiness by not doing things against our own principle. Not that we do, for example, we don't kill that person, then we do that person a favor. It's not true. We do ourselves a favor because we keep our principle intact. We live truly to our own belief. You understand? We believe that we should not get killed, and then we don't do that. We don't make an example of killing, of the opposite to our principle. That is all. It's not a forbidden commandment. It is just a real, true wisdom, how to live a harmonious life. But if we want turbulence, okay, we do what we like. And some people like surfing, you know. They don't like a river. It's too peaceful. They like to go in the big waves and run around in the waves and get knocked in the wave and, you know, stumble into the sea water, things like that, that makes them happy. Actually, nothing is good, nothing is bad in this life. It's just your own choice that you make. If you like to have a more harmonious life, to protect your own principle, and then you try to keep God's commandments, which means God's guidance, God's wisdom, yeah? For example, marriage or non-killing. These are all to protect ourselves, to ensure a perfect happiness, if we follow that. Therefore, you see some people, they are very careless with choosing partner, they're never happy. They jump from one partner to another because it's not a true relationship. They know it. Therefore, they just have to change because they're not satisfied. So when you're truly in love with someone, you don't want to change anymore. Yeah? And that's what it is. That's why I say you should not have sex when you're not married. I mean, you're not truly in love. Because in the old time, people don't marry with certificate anyhow. You know, so that doesn't mean you have to go to the magistrate and register your two names or buy the rings. But it means a truly loving relationship. That's what it means. So some people get mixed understanding about all these precepts. You see, each precept is a whole well of wisdom, a spring of wisdom. And if we have to truly study it, it takes a long time to have self-experience, not to listen to the master only, but to truly understand what it is. It takes a longer time. But of course, when somebody else say to you, you have a little guideline, you know, and you can think better, you can spring up from these ideas, fresher ideas and deeper understanding by your own finding. So it's faster to learn when you have a master, it's true. But experience you must alone. Only in that way your understanding will be deep, yeah, and meaningful. But anyhow, I share with you whatever I have and you take what you need and discard what you don't. Also, individually, each one understands in a different way and accepts some portions of it and some do not. And some portion you also already know or have some vague idea about what it is. So, once a master say something, emphasize something, you say, ah, yeah, I know, got it, yeah. Confirmation, you know. Then it's also fine, it's so good. Not that you need to hear anything always new, but to confirm. To hear something, to confirm your own idea and understanding of something is also very comfortable. Especially when you believe in some master and when the master says so, exactly like when what you think. Then you thought, wow, that's it. I'm enlightened, after all. Yeah, it's a very comforting idea, yeah? So there are many things also sometimes I experience in just a split second and it's gone. But it's beautiful. It doesn't last. Good thing never lasts. and these things I cannot share. I'm sorry also. And also sometimes in private talk, you know, I share with some people in a particular group or particular moment some very beautiful things which I cannot remember afterward and I cannot share with the second group. Even if I want to, it's different. Understand? So these things are the most regretful thing that I ever have. That the most beautiful things not all people can know. But anyhow, I believe that by telepathic ability, by the inner connection with the inner master, we will always pick it up, you know. Once I speak in some places, it vibrated in different direction, invisibly, and you will catch him up. And one day you wake up and have some beautiful ideas and you don't know where from. They came from there. Something came from something, you understand? It must have an origin somewhere. Nothing came from nothing. Nothing came from nowhere. It originates itself somewhere that we don't know. So anyhow, see, I'm very happy to see you. I don't know how happy you are, but I only know how happy I am. I didn't plan to come here so early, but No need to always plan, huh? Sorry to give you such a short notice. Just a few hours. Just like the, hey, I'm coming. Get ready. But I'm happy that you respond in such an enthusiastic way. And I've heard that you have been practicing very hard. And I can see that on your face. I just saw three at the airport. And I know how you have been practicing. Because you changed. Outside and inside. The manner, you know, the atmosphere, the magnetic field changed. And the beautiful glowing face bespeaks the inner glory. The Kuan Yin method changes everything. Inside out, upside down, wrong way around. It changes the tissues even of the skin. Renew all the time. That's why the more you practice, the younger you look. The more beautiful you become. Haven't you noticed? Yes, of course. Yes, yes, yes. Well, yes, some of them do. If you know them intimately before, and after initiation, or after a few months, you see the difference. Yeah. But if you see them every day, probably you don't notice much. It's like a baby grows different, grow every day, but the mother do not notice. But the outsider, they notice. Understand? Even though the mother know they grow, but it doesn't see it so clearly, like when someone just come back from a trip after a few months. So I was surprised. Even I myself was surprised to see that the two women who came to see me at the airport, they were so beautiful, so glowing, so natural, the skin, you know, so glowing. And I asked them if they have been practicing. I said, yes, very hard. It shows, you know. And also many other who came in America, in San Jose. There was one lady initiated long time ago. Lately I didn't see her so often, just a few months apart. And when she came to retreat this time in Taiwan, I was surprised. She's been so beautiful. So beautiful. And noticeably beautiful. And pure in the face. And I said, what happened? What happened? And she said, well, I've been practiced, you see. I have practiced. I really tried to. And it really changed her so much. Therefore, I recommend that anyone in any level at all should meditate as much as possible. The more, the better. For our own benefit. Before we talk about anyone else or the blessing to the world or peace of the world and anything else, a big deal. Let peace begin with us by meditation. Beauty also begin with us by meditation. Everything changed with the Kuan Yin method, with the light and sound from God. Everything changed. That's why in Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu Tao Te Ching, I say the Tao, when you practice, it changes you into youth. Change the old one into a youthful one. And also in the Bible, it also says you have to become child again in order to be reborn into the kingdom of God. To become a child means also you grow more youthful, but also it means the purity in the heart. The more you practice, the purer you become. Until you see everyone is pure. And that's a very beautiful feeling. Money cannot buy. Everyone in this world seeks happiness, but it doesn't last very long. And all the cosmetics companies try to advertise for their products, but they don't know the secret. Many women practicing afterward, they don't really need to do so much makeup anymore. They can do it for fun, though. Yeah, it's nice to paint yourself. If you couldn't paint any picture, You are the perfect picture. Just add some more color and that's it. The best portrait, life, better than Mona Lisa. Many people like painting and picture, but why don't they like people's face, huh? People's face can paint a little bit also, man. It's a temple of God. We should decorate. Yeah, if we are the temple of God, it's okay to decorate them with different flowers. So sometimes the model is they stick, you know, stars and moon, sun all over places. Maybe that's a good way to remind you of the kingdom of God within the universe. You couldn't have it within, you better have it without. Better than nothing. I think women are very artistic. Yeah? Otherwise, why all women like to paint? Paint their face, at least, you know. Men doesn't. But I don't know why other men are famous for being a good painter. Like Picasso, yeah? Van Gogh. Many others, huh? All men. Is there any women who are famous? Some. Huh? Oh, yes. But not much, huh? But not as Picasso or Van Gogh. You understand what I mean? And funny enough, all the chef cooks, the best cooks also men. All the 5-stars hotel high men, never hire women for cooks, yeah. Don't you see? Very seldom I saw a woman chef. Did you? I didn't. Probably hide behind a Chinese restaurant, but not in a not in the 5-stars hotel, huh? Not in international hotel. Probably a second cook or something, but never the chef. Never the famous one. Also, master. Very rare you see a master woman, huh? Therefore, we make an exception. Just to shock people. Shock them into worshipping the feminine of the universe. The feminine aspect of God. Not to look at woman always as an object of lust or kind of lowly desire. But also I have to look up as divine. Also, I have to be woman to point out the mistakes of our sex. We have many mistakes, many shortcomings. Too much emotion, too short a temper. Huh? Too less patience. But we have longing, and that's very good. We have very, very great longing for love. More longing than men. That's what makes a woman beautiful. When we long for something, you know, we are eternal. We live by that longing. As soon as we finish longing for something, our life becomes meaningless. Yeah? Therefore, the life of the woman are more fulfilling, more satisfied in any way. Because they always long for love. And also very artistic. That's why God let woman carry children. So I have an artistic influence. Yeah? Also tender care from inside the womb. If too much masculinity, the child probably grow up without tenderness. Yeah. I think the most happy group I ever met is in Colorado. Yeah. I also have the best impression from your group. Yeah. Probably because of the very special landscape here. It looks so much like Himalaya. You don't need to go anywhere to find Babaji or what. You have a Himalaya down here, huh? When I came here in February, it was so beautiful, so beautiful. It's better than some part of the Himalaya. more clean, yeah, and more trees. It's just very reasonable. Yeah. In Himalaya somewhere, sometimes too high, without trees, too harsh, and sometimes too misty. Yeah. Here it was having snow, but the sky was so clear and beautiful, and the trees are all green. Mm. I like green trees. So probably the special landscapes and very small town, like village, make people feel more relaxed and homely, huh? It's not a very big city, no? No, huh? Thanks God. Mm. I do not feel good in big city. Yeah. So you're very lucky, huh? Yeah. I feel you are very special Americans. I have not met such fine Americans elsewhere. Probably I haven't met many. Yeah, yeah, it's true, it's true. Well, the impression is, it's very, very fine. That's why I hurry up to come to see you. Any question?
You were talking about masters having the fear to come down from their place.
The chair, yeah. Yeah.
So when you're enlightened, you still have to stop you from doing things?
Yeah, you learn, you grow with enlightenment too. You don't get enlightenment and stop there forever. No. Yeah, I learn every day. I grow every day. I'm happy that I do. Otherwise, the truth is so fixed, so stale, and it's so boring. Once you reach it, you stop. Yeah? No good. The truth must be always changing, always new, always flexible. Yeah? Suit the mood of the enlightened person. Except the precept don't change. The precept is our own principle about what we don't like. Understand? Like not killing, because we don't like to get killed, that's all. Not because we should love that person, but we should love ourselves. Every precept is good for the one who keeps it. Yeah. So therefore it doesn't change. Okay? Like the love within marriage, this is also should not change. Because if you change that, you just make yourself less happy, that's all. Huh? Okay. So when you couldn't love anybody, then wait. And you find your loving partner later. And then enjoy, yeah? Just like when we wait for the fruit to ripe. And then we can enjoy better than pluck it down in a hurry and it's just sour. Even when we are hungry and we love that fruit so much and we don't have another ripe one at the moment, but even then if we pluck one unripe, it will never satisfy our taste anyhow. So why bother? Waste the fruit and waste our time and waste our apprehension and longing for the ripe fruit. Understand? So don't make a sin out of everything, please. Everything is beautiful in the right time. Yeah? In the right situation. Many masters, they don't step out of their chairs because of fear. Yeah, masters have fear. That's the last thing that we could overcome. Fear. And fear comes from ego. The little bit of ego keeps the fear. Without ego, we fear nothing. Yeah? Because we don't fear to lose anything. The ego is the one who tell you that you have prestige, that you are the master, that you shouldn't do that, and you should do this, that everybody look up on you, you shouldn't disappoint them. Well, who knows who disappoints whom? Maybe you disappoint them by being so rigid. Yeah. But anyhow, the last step is difficult, the most difficult to overcome for any master at all, even for me. I had to learn many things after being assigned to this job, this business. Yeah, I had to learn all the time. I grow all the time and every day, in pain and in joy too. Yeah, just in different degree, but sometimes also very hard. I grow with the disciple. I suffer the way you suffer too. You can say that it's a collective karma, or the master has to take the karma for the disciple or what. I also see that as a way of my growth. It's nice to see that we are always growing fresh, new, and never stop at one point. Like the Zen saying, they say there's the steps beyond the 100-foot paw. You know, once you climb from bottom to the top, to the 100-foot or 1,000-foot, whatever, yeah, to climb on the top of the paw, and you're stuck there. Now what next? You come down, or you jump. Understand? Take a leap. But most people are afraid to jump into nothingness. Yeah? They prefer to hold on to the top. I made it to the top. How can I let go now? What next? Understand? So the truth is not a fixed nirvana or kingdom of God. It is a forever growing process. It's getting more interesting each day. The more we taste it, the more we long for more. It's not like an ordinary love relationship in the world. After some time, you get bored. Doesn't matter how beautiful your wife is or how handsome the husband is. Yeah? Oh, it's after 7 years or so, gets stuck. If you don't work hard, then probably slip out and finished. Mostly the relationship of husband and wife go out after 3 years or 7 years, something like that. 7 years age, yeah. But the inner relationship with our own wisdom never get bored. It might get a little difficult at times, but not bored. Therefore, when you have difficult in meditation, or kind of wanting to give it up, that is when you have some dry period. We call it winter time. Yeah. But it will go. It will go. Just try to do as much as you can. Even if one day you couldn't even meditate at all, sit there and fidgeting your fingers or what, yeah, clenching your teeth, and then just get up, take a walk, yeah, drink a beer with alcohol, or something like that. Go out and play guitar, go dancing, do something, and come back again, yeah, next day, or the next time when you feel like it. Do not try too hard. You'll come back. There's nothing else better in this world. Anyhow, so do not fear that you will lose your faith. You will not. You won't. You just take a rest. That's all. Yeah? You truly couldn't make it today, then take a rest. The next day, try it again. Yeah. I am afraid that there is nothing else which is better than what I have offered you. Otherwise, I would have offered you. Or I would get it myself first. I have traveled all over the world, met many masters, read so many so-called books. Well, I read enough to understand. Nothing's better. Even if I wanted, I couldn't get anything better. Therefore, try to work with the treasure that you had, even though you had it very easy way. Don't think it is easy. It isn't easy. You had to work many ages, hard, have good virtues, and good longing, sincere yearning, in order to get that easy moment of initiation. Yeah, just you forgot. Yeah. So it wasn't easy. It wasn't a cheap offer, actually. But don't think it's an easy thing. No. There's a long process behind, you know? Long way up to the initiation time. But to struggle hard on many levels, on many existence, to make it up to that day. Whether you stay or you leave, it is the whole background, you know, that designs. Not just so easy.
I go back and forth between surrender and wanting God's will.
Yeah.
And then feeling like if I ask, it may limit something greater that God has for me.
Oh.
How do I
Oh, that's fine. That's good. It's good that you ask this intelligent question. Yes. You see, if we have to ask, then we ask. Okay? And God knows how much to give. He shouldn't give in your limit, but He should give in His limit anyhow, if He is God. So why bother? Okay? Ask when you need to. Later you will grow up and give it up. Don't worry. God knows what you truly want. Yeah? Don't worry. If He doesn't know, that's it's His fault. Or her fault. Let's make Him feminine. To please the woman.
I have trouble with asking in the sense that I think God gave us everything. We don't believe.
Mm. But it's oh, He does. He does. He does give everything. He does. Otherwise, the Son.
He gave us His kingdom. It is truly, you know. Yeah. I can't think of the phrase now. But nobody buys it. Nobody believes it.
Yeah.
So, what's the point of asking?
We already know.
Is tune in and allow ourselves to accept.
Yeah. Well, you can ask. You can ask. Say, "Oh God, I probably shouldn't ask you this, but but let me ask you anyhow, since since it settled down my mind, and then whether you give it or not is up to you. Okay? You see what I need? Yeah. I ask, but you don't need to give what's not good for me. Okay? Just let tell Him.
Once a few years ago, where from wanting everything in the moon, all of a sudden, this is the phrase, it is the Father's true pleasure to give us the kingdom.
Yeah.
And one day, it just absolutely, you know, I said, that's true. Just registered.
Yeah.
And there was nothing, but absolutely nothing in this world that I wanted.
Yeah.
And from morning till night for several weeks,
it feels so blissful. Yes. Yeah.
And special delivery. It was the strangest things were coming from all directions.
Yes.
Nothing I wanted.
Yeah.
So I really
experience. This is fine. But also in the Bible it says that ask and it shall be given, knock and it shall be opened. So it wasn't forbidden to ask. Yeah? You will reach a stage when you don't want to ask anymore. Even Nirvana, you throw it in the Ganges. You know? Then you're okay. At that time, you're fine. Now you need to ask, just ask. But He won't give you anyhow if it's not good for you. So don't worry. Yeah, He should know it's better, no? So we can ask for anything we want, and then let's see what He gives. So don't worry that you get too much or too little, yeah? He'll probably take a break somewhere, yeah? Okay.
I have not been initiated yet, but my husband has been in Boulder.
Are you allowed to ask anyhow?
Yeah, I just want to know. We're moving to Canada in 1 month. Mm. And I would like to be initiated under you, and I'm wondering when's the next time.
Oh, before you go to Canada, right?
Or if you come
in Canada,
to Canada
also, okay.
Coming?
No, I have disciples in Canada. And you can get initiation from there through invisible life.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't need to be present at the initiation.
Okay.
Yeah?
Thank you.
I can be absent but present.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, you get experience all the same. You can see me also over there if you're that high. Okay. Yeah. In China, there are many people who never saw me before but were initiated through my disciples. Each one saw the master. So don't worry, huh? Okay. If you want initiation, I'll send somebody. And the vegetarian diet's okay? I really appreciate your effort and sincerity. I'm really very touched for the Oriental people to be vegetarian. I feel it's natural. Because most of them love, you know, raw food. For example, the Vietnamese people, they eat maybe 5 days out of the week with raw herbs and vegetable and sauce, you see. They don't always cook so much and they don't always put them in oil. If they do it, probably just dip them in boiling water for 1 or 2 minutes, get them out. And dip them in soy sauce. So for the Oriental people, or Vietnamese people, and Chinese people, Indian people, to eat vegetarian, it is a normal thing. But for Americans, especially different culture, and the theory of karma, reincarnation, and vegetarian are not very well known in your country. So I do appreciate your sincerity and effort. Are you happy with the vegetarian diet? The bloodless food? You okay? A few more nights? The figure get better and feel lighter, huh?
I haven't been initiated yet, would like to, and I do eat eggs, but they're for free-ranging chickens who haven't been fed hormones, and they're not fertilized, but is that still against the rules? I still shouldn't eat eggs?
Shouldn't.
Can I ask why? I'm just curious if there's a...
Why? Egg represent reincarnation, and it gives you an impression of reborn.
Uh-huh.
And you, if you want to go back again, you can.
No, I don't, thanks.
And also, egg attracts negativity.
Oh, it does? I didn't realize
that. It does. All the voodoos people know it. They use eggs to attract entities from people when they have to cast out this
evil spirit,
the negative entities from some possessed person. They break eggs here, there, to attract that souls out.
Because
when a deceased spirit or a disembodied spirit saw eggs, they attract. They think they get reborn again and get a body again. You see?
I see.
That's where they come in.
I see.
Yeah.
Thank you for.
They come in and then take them out, broken, throw them out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, you should know that. You don't know anything about black and white magic?
Not really.
And no. Better not. I thought the Americans are well versed in all these kind of books. No? Fine.
Some are, but not
God
all.
Save you. Good, good. But just to let you know.
Okay.
And also the smell is unpleasant, whether fertilized or unfertilized. Even if I allow you to eat them after initiation, you give them up eventually.
Okay.
After you practice for some time. If you truly, sincerely practice, you will feel so disgusted and revolted and you vomit out everything. Yeah, try. Some of you should try. But the insensitive then, of course, I don't know. I don't say anything. I just say eventually, when your level is higher, you will give it up. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So I would not advise you to eat eggs.
Okay?
Okay. Try to avoid things which is harmful to us. Not that because of my commandment.
Right.
Anything I handed out to you is secret precepts for everlasting life. Not a commandment by force or by a kind of authority. You understand? Just secret formula for the entry into the kingdom of God.
When Christ was walking the earth with his disciples, they were all, or most of them were fishermen.
Yeah.
And when they had the group gather around the northern Sea of Galilee, and he thought one day, supposedly, you know, it came about dinner time, and there was nothing to feed except a young man had 3 loaves and a couple of fish.
Yeah, we heard about
okay.
it all the time.
You hear this one all the time.
We had nothing else except the fish and the bread.
Yeah.
You know what? It's amazing. But who knows what he ate? May not be the fish what we think, the fish. Well, let's see. You know, also, how can you feed 5,000 people with 3 fishes and 2 loaves of bread? Or 200 loaves even. Yeah? Okay? So think about that. Magic. No fish. Only love and magic. Anyhow, this kind of magic any yogi can do. And get some water in again, just cover it with a cloth and open it, it become milk. Okay? Now, Jesus don't need any fish. He learned a lot of yogic tricks and magic. He could walk on water and all the kind. This is only yogic trick. So, anyhow, Jesus know a lot of these tricks, like healing the sick, yeah? Walking on the water, making water become wine. These are typical Indian and Tibetan magic tricks. Yeah. So if he make fish come to feed 5,000 people, you know these are not real fish. And if he could do that, why should he need fish to feed himself? You understand? When he could feed 5,000 people, he could feed himself easily. Don't worry about that. You read the autobiography of Yogananda. They feed themselves with air. They make a palace out of nothing. They light fire where there is snow and no wood. Don't worry about these people. They don't eat anything. Okay? But you must eat, so eat vegetarian.
In your book, I read one of your books, and there was in the back there were letters, and somebody was writing to you about the practice they were doing, and that they were staying away from the five roots, one of them being garlic. What's the deal with that?
I mean, nothing, no big deal. Eat them.
Good.
Eat them if you need, but they smell bad.
Okay.
Smell very bad. So make sure you drink a glass of mint afterward. For the compassion's sake. Love thy neighbor. Yeah. Not every neighbor likes garlic smell. Yeah, that's okay. And, well, it is because in the old Indian time, these things are forbidden. Probably too expensive or too smelly. Mm. But nowadays I saw most of the places, even in the most famous ashram, they cook with garlic and onion, they eat it raw. If you like to eat them, you eat them. Just be moderate in everything, okay? Not to be too strict in everything, but meat stay away, yeah? Because it has to do with killing, and that is your principle. Because you hurt your principle, and you will feel guilty. That's all, okay?
And what about cooking meat for other people?
Well, if they force you, then you cook.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, if you could not turn them around to eat vegetarian, then cook for them. Okay. But better not do it by profession.
Mm-hmm.
Because you earn your money by blood. And that's also way down on your conscience. It's not that I forbid you. I just tell you the secret behind these things. Any profession to do with killing, directly or indirectly, must hurt your soul, because it's your principle that you're trespassing, that you harm, not other people's commandment. Yeah, but you yourself don't like to be chopped into pieces and fed people or animals with it. Yeah, you also love life. Animals do. Because they have movement, they have relationship with other animals, and they have loving feeling. Therefore, they love life. They represent life already, some parts, portion of life, yeah? Therefore, they love life. And if we take away life, we take away a portion of our life. You understand? So we have to pay for it in some way or another to make up for the hole that we dig. Okay? For the portion of life that we made lost. Then we have to fill the role that we have taken away by force. Understand? Because that role was to be played by that animal until certain years. And you just take it away directly or indirectly. Yeah? You take part in this crime. So we have to partially play that role somehow, you understand, to fulfill the whole, to fill the missing part, okay? For example, in the theater, there are different parts, yeah? Different roles. And now if you knock down one of the actress or the director, fire one, then he has to look for another to refill. Yeah? If not, then he has trouble. He will lose the job, he will lose the wages, he will lose the money, the whole performance will be spoiled. And he is the one who get trouble. Okay? All right. And you help, if you have the director to do that, or knock down that actress, then you're in more trouble. Somehow you have to pay for it, yeah? In some form, money-wise, or go to court, or go to jail, or play that role. Okay?
Picking up other people's karma.
We do any time.
Yeah.
We sit next to and we share half of the treasure.
Lucky for them.
Better good. Yeah, we exchange. And also, you do it by looking, by thinking of people, by just passing by sharing the same house, same toilet, same books, same food, same table, same chairs. Yeah, pick up some vibration from people. But what shall we do in this world? That's how we spread the blessing and minimize people's karma. That's why we should practice in order to spread the light, minimize darkness. Yeah, lucky for the people who are picked up by us. Yeah, and lucky for us to do this service. That's why we're practicing, not only for ourselves. It's for everyone that we encounter, okay? That we think of, that we make acquaintance with, okay? That's why our practice is slow. Otherwise, after initiation, you'll be in nirvana speedily, in 1 second. But then, who will bless the world when you're gone? So you have to stay here, pay your debt, level the give and take, and at the same time, bless the world. Because after all, we are all connected with each other. Yeah? People who make the road for us, build the airplane, build a house, everyone share a little bit of our blessing. We can't help that. Just like your income tax. It goes automatically. And the insurance and all things take directly from the wages without you knowing it, without you even wanting. You can't stop that. Understand? Yeah? The more you want, the more you have to pay. Okay? Same thing, we live in this world, we want a lot of comfort. Yeah? You see, we spend a lot of money, we enjoy lots of people's invention and services. Yeah? So when we practice, they are entitled to take away some portion of our blessing. Yeah? Of our merit. It's then automatically, you want it or not want it, it will be deducted. That's how your 5th generation, 6th generation will get liberated. That's how your friends and relatives will get blessing when they die, because of your practice. Because they are connected with you, because they have done something to you, for you, because you love them, because they love you. Any exchange, mentally, physically, psychically, will be resulted in some payment, yeah, or some exchange, yeah. They exchange you for the bad, you exchange them for the good. But for the service they have done to you, or for the love they have given you, they deserve this. It's just a little bit more expensive on our part. But why should we calculate so well and so minutely with our brothers and sisters? You understand? Let them take what they can. Take all they need. Yeah? Everybody goes to heaven, we go to hell, okay? One or two. And they couldn't bear it, they would take us up anyhow.
Thank you for your company on today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Please tune in tomorrow for part two of this fascinating lecture on Try to Live a Happy Life. And now, please stay tuned for a journey through aesthetic realms, only on Supreme Master Television. We wish you an uplifting and beautiful day.